Scripture this morning from both the Psalms and from Mark's Gospel. Listen first to the psalmist's song. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. As I read that psalm, I suspect that if I lived in North Carolina, this would be a very different sermon this morning. From Mark's Gospel, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others think that you are one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. That's another sermon, by the way, why in Mark Jesus keeps telling them, "Shh, don't tell anybody." And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this all quite openly. But Peter, I love Peter. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on the divine things, but on human things." And he called the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." For those who want to save their life, Jesus said, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take up your cross and follow me. There are often times when I stand here and read a passage to a congregation and say, "The word of the Lord, thanks be to God." I had a kid in a confirmation class a number of years ago, and we tackled this passage, and Doug, a perceptive young man, said, "You know, Drew, this doesn't sound like a lot of fun." least he knew the question to ask. An old joke, a minister's child on receipt of her first teddy bear was asked what she would call the bear. And she said, well, Gladly. The name of my bear is going to be Gladly. Well, the minister was just swelled with pride that his daughter's gratitude for receiving the gift, a good and noble Christian emotion, to be glad for what you've received. And he said, well, why? Why Gladly? Why not Butch? Why Gladly? He said, you know, Daddy, Gladly the cross I bear. It's appropriate to laugh now. And then Daddy became really proud because his daughter was aware of the central feature of our faith, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't the first symbol of the Christian faith. That was the fish, ichthys, Greek word, an anagram. It took a while for the cross to step forward. If you think about it, it shouldn't be a big surprise for any of us. We would question the Presbyterian Church if we chose the electric chair as the central symbol of our faith. And that's what the cross was 2,000 years ago. It was their version of the electric chair, and just a little bit more horrid. Passage is not, that we read today, is not the most favorite passage in the Christian faith. It's certainly one that I have used in adult classes, and people get a little antsy about it. Take up your cross and follow me. I mean, if that's the only way we get to follow Jesus, we need to think about that pretty seriously, because we're good at killing each other. And that's what the cross is a symbol of. It's a symbol of exactly how good we are at crucifixion. We're not so good at resurrection. But man, are we tough on crucifixion. We have that down pat. Read some of the stuff going on right now with a certain incredibly popular, at least to this point, talk show hostess. Woman is being ripped limb for limb. We are good at crucifixion. And we all know how good we are. That's why taking up our cross just scares the dickens out of us. We don't want to take up any cross, much less Jesus, because we know where his cross led. On a hill against the sky for a long, long afternoon. It just doesn't sound like fun, does it? Take up your cross. Our world may be good at crucifixion, but that's the crucifixion of all the other guys, not me. I don't want to be crucified. But give me a shot at you and I'll help out. And we know that's the way the world works. I mean, we know it. We know it. You know, we take up an offering in the fall. Most churches do something about stewardship, and the phrase sacrificial giving comes up. I've been in this game for over half a century, and I want to tell you that one of the least favorite phrases in our Christian world is sacrificial giving. Ministry requires commitment. Commitment requires giving. I have been fortunate enough for over half a century to receive a regular paycheck. And I have no illusions about where that money came from. The clothes I'm wearing, the car I drove down here came from your pockets. Sacrificial giving. A couple years back, Time magazine had a cover story on what was deemed to be new. They called it Prosperity Christianity. Prosperity Christianity has a central message, and that is, if you are God's servant, if you are faithful to God, God will make you rich. And I don't mean in some kind of imaginary way. I'm talking about how thick your wallet is. God will make you rich. Jesus wants you to be wealthy. And if you aren't, it's a sign of God's judgment on you. Prosperity Christianity. Taking up one's cross, you see, in that particular form of Protestantism, taking up one's cross is not a commitment or a sacrifice. It's an investment that will pay off. Literally. When I was in seminary, now we're talking about going back in time before written records were kept, one of the ways I paid my freight there was to wash dishes in the cafeteria. As a matter of fact, I did that at Bucknell too. I've washed a few dishes, but I don't have any debt. At any rate, we're clearing the table, and there was a large group of a couple hundred people there for a workshop. One of the keynote speakers was Dale Evans. Yeah, that Dale Evans. I mean, I grew up with Dale and Roy, and so did most of you. TV got to me just in time. Dale was speaking exactly about prosperity Christianity. And at one point, I had an armful of dishes, which I dropped. And they shattered all over the floor. And this is why I dropped them, because I was bending over, and behind me, I heard her say into the microphone, "If you believe," and I swear to God, this is a direct quote, "if you believe, if you really believe, God won't let you be poor." And I dropped my dishes. And then I got out of the room because the temperature in my collar got hot. You know, there are mission fields in on other continents where people will walk 20 miles in the morning to go to church, to sit on a split log and worship God. They'll walk 20 miles. 20 miles. Baby, if I get to church and the AC doesn't work, I'm going home. And yet her statement damned those people to hell. Are you serious? I haven't been able to watch Roy and Dale since that day. I don't remember ever having a hero disappoint me so much. We're not good at toughness. We're good at investments that pay off. Go to a bookstore, even an electronic one, and you go to the self-help section. They're full of titles like 10 Easy Steps to Fill in the Blank. Lose Weight Without a Diet. There's actually a book out right now with that title. Lose Weight Without a... Yeah. Firm Your Abs Without Exercise. Exercise Without Sweat. You know, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a company out, a lab, and they will kick you out of the exercise room if you grunt. You know the one I'm talking about? They will actually make you leave if you demonstrate that you're exerting any effort. Because you don't want to make the other folks feel bad, you know? Exercise without sweat. Follow Jesus without the cross. Same thing, isn't it? There was a headline in the Washington Post a little while back, and it was... I'm sure the article ended up lining a lot of bird cages, but the title of the article was Fight the Philosophical Battle of the 21st Century. And it was all about this. To get what we want with no commitment. To be who we want with no commitment. To call ourselves Christian . The world is a no deposit, no return world. No cost, no cross, you can have it all. There is one of the biggest Christian preachers on television. Huge sanctuary. And in his sanctuary, nary a cross. There's no cross in his Christian sanctuary. You don't want to make people feel bad. You don't want to tell people the truth that being a Christian just jolly well may cost you something. I can't, how do you do Christianity without the cross? I have no clue. But he's figured it out, and he's got a lot more people sitting in his sanctuary than I have here. That alone will tell you that this following the cross stuff is not popular. What does that mean, taking up your cross? Well, I think the Bible talks about it as being the cross, as the things of this world in our lives that are sinful. The things that violate the teachings and the will of Jesus Christ. The things to which we are addicted. And we all have them. They're not to be drugs and booze. Seriously. I could feed a lot of people who don't have food with apparently what I've eaten in the last year. things of which you are ashamed, the things by which you do wrong, and do it consciously. Jesus says, take up your cross. Take them up. Take those things up in your life. This is a conversation between you and your Lord and the mirror hanging in front of you when you brush your teeth in the morning. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and anybody else. This is a conversation between you and Jesus. Take responsibility for them is what it means to take them up. To ask forgiveness for them. To change from them. It's more than just asking forgiveness, saying we're sorry. It means actually to turn away from them. Because when we do that, we then become freed from their demonic control of our lives. And that control is demonic. You want to see some little guy sitting on your shoulder with a pitchfork? No. You know what I'm talking about. We all have those voices. We all have those voices. That's the voice we have to talk to. And then we talk to Jesus. But to give those things up frees us and enables us to follow the path of Jesus Christ, even if it goes up a lonely hill with a cross on top. See, Jesus came. It says literally this in the Gospel of John, right out of Jesus' own mouth. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. That's not pie in the sky when we die. That life begins now, in this world, in wristwatch time, not in eternal time. He came so that we might have life abundantly now. Life abundant is not found in getting something for nothing. It is found in following Jesus Christ. It is not found in getting a prayer towel from some guy on the radio. Instead, it is found in prayer with Christ. It is found in being Jesus' chosen disciple. And the only way to do that is to take up your personal cross and follow Jesus. Honest. The Bible tells me so. Pray with me. Lord God, we give you thanks that when we get to the end of our rope, we find you. We give you thanks that you actually love us just the way we are. We don't know how you manage that, but we know you do. And it is that love and your cross that is all we need to become who we were meant to be, one of your followers, a good and faithful servant in this world as we move towards the next. We give you thanks, Jesus. Amen.